This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 30 of The Showrunner. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Rainmaker FM for Rainmaker Digital, joined, as always, by my co-host, Johnny Naster, defender of humanity and host of Hack the Entrepreneur, as well as aspiring author. I think we can add that to your description now.
Aspiring, inspiring, or perspiring?
All three.
All three. You're right, actually.
Yes.
Shockingly enough, I never thought of that till right now, but
that's
you're
right.
Absolutely.
It is all three. Yeah. So, hey, you and I did something for the first time on Friday, and it was really fun. I figured we should let folks know about it a little bit. Since we're about to do a two-part series about social media and about ways to connect with your audience on social media, we connected with our audience in a new way on Friday. Do you want to let people know what we did?
Yeah, sure. We used Blab. Blab.im, I believe it is.
We did.
I guess I don't know how to exactly describe it besides it's just like Google Hangouts, but better. but it's like a video conferencing, but it seems less, less like pro style. It's more like casual, and like people can come and go from the comment section on the right and hold conversations over there. And people can get added to the video. Like the host can just add other people, can ask to join it, and you just have conversations. And it was really cool. It was really for what we used it for, and we only used it the one time, but yeah. It seemed like everybody who was joined us on it really enjoyed it. And I think it was a lot more fun than Google was.
Yeah. No, it's cool because we've always used Google Hangouts for our showrunner huddles inside of the showrunner course. That's what we used it for, basically for a Q&A. And it's interesting because it has some of the positives of Google Hangouts, you know, with the live streaming and everything. And then it adds some of the positives of Periscope too, with, you know, the interaction. People can give you props, you know, kind of like the hearts on Periscope, they give you props on Blab, and there's a nice chat feature. And yeah, you can, you know, we could pull people in for live video. So it's interesting. I think, you know, Periscope, Blab, the live streaming services are really interesting because they're fun and they hold a lot of possibility. And yet you also have to be a little bit careful because you can go chase these new opportunities, these new tools, you know, without a real plan, and you end up wasting time. And so we're not telling you about Blab because we think you should just run out and start using it and that it's the panacea for all of your online marketing needs. But it's interesting to think about. It's worth trying, I think. We certainly had a great time. The audience really enjoyed it. And so, and we'll you know, especially if we keep using it for the showrunner huddles, we'll talk about it more. But we both give it a big thumbs up. So we just wanted to mention that. We wanted to blab about Blab a little bit here in our casual opening.
Yeah. So is it really, though, upon like reflection now, it's just basically webinar software, right? Like there's really nothing else except that it's way, way, way simpler to set up and to get people to join it.
What is, but I would say, I mean, it's, I don't know that I would call it webinar software because you think webinar and you think the ability to share your screen.
You can do that, I think, can't you?
Or put slides. No, you can do that on Google Hangouts, but I don't know. Again, Blab is in beta, so there's a bunch more stuff they're going to add to it. But unless I'm missing something, I don't believe that part is there yet.
Okay. I thought you could find a way to, as the host, to share your screen if you wanted. Because otherwise, really, everything that happens around it is the same. Like,
yes.
You can have the conversations, you can, but it's literally just a social link you share. It's not, people don't have to join, right, and all that kind of stuff. So, plus they can find you just by searching through the Blab directory, I think. And if you title your episode correctly, then they might just locate you.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise it's not, you're right, it's not something that you should just completely drop everything you're doing and run over there because I don't think it's transformative in that way. I think it's just a new, easy way to connect if you want.
Yeah. But if you've been using Google Hangouts, give it a try because you may really like it. And we've brought our audience on there. We're pretty sure we're going to bring our assembly call audience over there. We did a test with them. They really liked it. So feedback's been really good. So give it a try. If you're just hearing about it, if you've been thinking about it and haven't tried it, try it. See what you think. Mr. Naster, what do you think about talking about social media?
I think we should do it.
Let's do it. Next. Now.
Next now.
Okay, so on last week's episode of The Showrunner, we talked about repurposing and syndication. And this was inspired by a question from Jeff Leo Herman inside of the Showrunner podcasting course. And we actually had a listener question from him lined up to do, but we didn't answer it because, frankly, his, you know, the initial question took us the entire episode. And this question that we had lined up, we realized it was a full episode in and of itself. And so we're going to focus on that question here today. And it is part number one of a two-part series in which we are going to talk about social media and how to use social media to grow the audience for your show. So here is Jeff's question. And then we'll start talking. So his question is about Twitter specifically, and this episode is going to focus on Twitter. And he asks about using Twitter for building your show brand versus your personal brand. And he says, I know the answer is it depends, but I would like to hear the strategy behind the Showrunner FM Twitter account that has roughly 370 followers, at least as of this question. I don't know what it's at right now. And then with our Jared Morris and Johnny Naster accounts, each of which have several thousand followers. And he asks, are you guys more focused on building your personal brand on Twitter? And yes, we know that engagement is more important than volume, but what is the role of a show handle on Twitter? How should one focus their efforts? Mr. Naster, I know you have kind of an overarching tip here, which you gave right before we went live, which is probably a good starting off point for this discussion when it comes to your show's handle.
Yeah, and you're right, the whole it depends with social media, but the main reason why I have Hack the Entrepreneur show handle, which is actually, I think, HTE podcast, because Hack the Entrepreneur is too long for a title. As soon as you're coming up with a name for your show, you obviously look for the .com or a URL that'll fit, and then I always suggest that you grab the handles across social media. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, grab the one that is the closest to your show because it's free and because you need to own it. I don't think you want to be building your show and brand and somebody can just come along and grab Showrunner FM and then use it as their, because people will be looking for it. Even if you're not promoting it, people still will look for it eventually and they could promote it and call themselves you because it says your name. So that's the main reason why instantly I just grab those handles, just because if the brand grows to where I want it to, then I need to own those and I can decide to focus on them at any point.
Yeah, and update, breaking news, we actually have 375 followers on the @showrunnerfm account. Now, this question was sent a while ago, so we've grown by five in that time, and I don't really know what that means because, I mean, we use the Showrunner account to, I have it set up with Octopost, which we use for social media automation, and so I've got some, you know, for a while there, I was really good about putting our old episodes in and auto-scheduling them out, and then I would put our new episodes in. But frankly, it's kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit just because, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a great answer for it. I guess it's one of those things where, you know, it was only showing so much of a benefit. And at the end of the day, when you have scarce resources of time, it hasn't seemed like worth putting that much time in on the Showrunner Twitter account. Because frankly, I spend more time on my personal account connecting with people about podcasting than I do with the Showrunner account. The Showrunner account is really about, you know, kind of tweeting the episodes, having it, but we haven't used it a ton for connection, you know, and I'm kind of here thinking, you know, on the fly, should we have done more? Should we have done less? I don't really know. I mean, I've done it both ways, right? Like the assembly call, one of the big ways that we grew that audience was through Twitter and through the assembly call Twitter account. And, you know, we would live tweet during games and I would put all my IU basketball stuff on that account and it's grown and grown and grown. It's got 5,000-6,000 followers now. And that's been a big part of where we've grown our audience. But I don't really cross-pollinate it with my Jared Morris account. And that account is really the one that I use more for professional stuff, you know, for online marketing, for podcasting. I connect with people over there. So what I might have done with the Showrunner, I do more with my personal account. And I think it comes down to being intentional, being strategic, and just kind of making sure that you have a plan. You know, assessing that plan as you go, figuring out what's working, figuring out what's not, and obviously doubling down on what is and getting rid of what's not. But there, it does depend. And it does depend on what your goals are. You know, if you have a podcast that perfectly aligns with the personal brand you're trying to build, they can be very much in alignment. And maybe you choose one to focus on as opposed to the other. And if it's more of a side project, you know, maybe you really focus on that Twitter account because now you can focus over there and it doesn't need to cross-pollinate with your personal account. So it really just depends on what your goals are. It depends on how aligned your personal account is with your show account. And I think you just want to be intentional and be strategic with how you use them.
So two things.
Yes.
Typically people don't have like 4 and 5 and 6 shows like you do.
Oh.
So
what are you trying to say?
No, all I'm saying is like you're sort of an outlier in the fact that most of us start a show based on something that really like correlates to our personal, right? It's something that we're into. It's something that that's why we're talking about it typically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, when I started Hack the Entrepreneur, I've been very open about this. I really expected to go for 3 to 4 months with the show, get to interview the people I wanted to interview and then move on. But it started to get traction, so I ran with it. And so my thinking was, well, why would I focus on building like a small little platform for Hack the Entrepreneur on social media when I can just funnel everybody to myself? And myself is going to continue on after the show stops, and I will start another show, and I will start another show until a show catches. But I might as well keep up that equity of people that I'm bringing in because it's going to be definitely aligned with what I'm doing. And it wouldn't be like I was completely pivoting to something else. I would have stuck within the business entrepreneurship space because that's where I enjoy and that's where I work, right? So to me, it was kind of, you can keep building that up. And I mean, if it really starts to catch on, then you can, when it comes time. And this makes me think of Brian Clark, right? I mean, Brian Clark was like the copy blogger Twitter handle pretty much.
Yep.
And then there was a point, I remember like a year or two ago, I think it was probably 2 years ago now, where copy blogger actually became a thing on Twitter.
Yeah.
And like, that was like, what, 8 years into the company at that point? And like hundreds of thousands of followers. I mean, so if we're worrying about it at like 100 followers or 200 or 1,000, like, you know what I mean? It's not going to stop you from growing. It's not going to stop your show from growing. It's not going to stop your business from growing. You can then, like, to me, it's just keep everything in one place so that you can take that with you. But when it really, like, it's going to be so evident that at some point, okay, we need like a company Twitter handle. We need a company Facebook. And Facebook's actually different. Like having a Facebook page is really easy. And I mean, you can't have a personal page, so you should have a page for your show. It's really easy to do. It's really easy to post your show over there. But with Twitter, it's more interactive to me. So just to have it back to yours. And I mean, on the scale that Brian could do it, I mean, if we could all try and reach to that level and then have to make that switch, then that's great. That's what we should do. You know what I mean? Rather than trying to do it before there's any value to anyone at any of the handles. But you should own the handle because somebody can grab it at any point, but it can just sit there. People don't mind. I mean, even like the 69 people that follow the Hack the Entrepreneur one, it's not like it's muddling up their Twitter feeds at all. So they're not even going to remember to unfollow me if I don't tweet anything for the next year. But if I decide in a year to start tweeting from there, they'll be like, oh yeah, this. And then I could actively try and build up that following if I wish, but it's just sitting there. It's of no importance right now. And the importance is growing the show and growing that somewhere that's going to last longer than possibly the show, which is my personal Twitter.
Well, and I think it's directing people's attention to one place, right? Like you don't necessarily want to sometimes tell people go here, sometimes tell people go here. Like you want to focus all of your attention in one place. And like you said, you're right. Probably my situation is a bit of an outlier with the assembly call because that topic is so much different than what I use my personal account for. And actually, my personal account has gone through kind of a lot of iterations, because at first it was built very much on people who connected with me by sports when I was running Midwest Sports Fans. And now it's really shifted to where it's much more about what I'm doing professionally. And, you know, the lead, the showrunner, all of that obviously fits in, and even Primility fits in line with what I'm doing professionally, the kind of topics that I want to connect with people on, the kind of topics I want to speak about. And I use Twitter in that way. And I do think it's important, you know, if you are going to start a show that's maybe more of a hobby show or more kind of on the side, I would think about keeping it separate. Because the problem I was having when I started the Assembly Call is, crap, what do I tweet? You know, is this okay to tweet from this account? Is this okay? And I had to simplify it, you know, and I realized, you know, people aren't going to want live tweets of IU games. You know, people that connect with me at a presentation aren't going to want me going crazy for 2 hours filling their feed with live tweets from an IU game, you know? So I think everybody can have their own individual situations and you just want to think them through, you know? And so for me, that's why it made sense to put it over there. But I think for most folks, it's going to make sense to direct them all to one place. And again, you're right. Make sure that you have the company account. But, you know, people, when they're listening to podcasts, they're connecting with you. That's the connection that you want to make. And I think people are going to be much more likely to connect to a name and a picture of a face on Twitter than they are to a company name and a logo. Like, I just think it's something. Do you find that too when you're on Twitter? Like, that you are just, you react more to tweets, you're more likely to respond when it's a name and a face as opposed to, you know, like the difference between it being Brian Clark and his picture as opposed to copy blogger and a logo. Though it's him behind it, it's just, you know, how it comes across.
I don't know that it's him behind it. I mean,
well, but you did before.
50 employees. It could be literally anybody.
That's, yeah.
And I'm really like, I avoid all contact with brands on Twitter. Yeah. Unless I have a complaint, then I would go to them. But I don't follow brands. Like, it actually shocks me. It's like, why are you following, like, I don't know, like a shoe company or something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it boggles my mind. Like, you want to have a social interaction with a product? To me, it doesn't, like, I don't, as a consumer, I don't see that, but I could also be jaded because I'm in marketing.
It depends on how they're using Twitter, though. I mean, if they're doing discounts or flash sales, or, you know, if they're doing something special for their Twitter folks. Like, imagine with the showrunner, you know, if we, to build up our Twitter account, if we, you know, released, I don't know, like, we released showrunner shorts and only notified the Twitter folks and only had a link that was accessible via Twitter or something. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a good way to grow it, but we'd have to have a reason for doing that. We really don't. So I guess that would be the only reason to, you know, to follow a brand on Twitter.
Right, right. Oh, but, and I forgot. I think I said I was going to make 2 points and I only made 1 point.
let's go. Number two, baby.
The other point was how we're saying it depends and how we're saying, like, with Showrunner FM, you put out a lot of shows, like, it was consistent because you were using Octo something and
Octopost.
Right. And that could really make sense, but really we're just guessing. And so the other thing for Jeff and for everyone else out there is analytics.twitter.com. If you don't go to analytics.twitter.com, then all of this stuff is meaningless. So analytics.twitter is literally the analytics behind your Twitter account. So it shows how much you're posting. It shows every single link that you send out. And if anybody either retweets it or favorites it, which you already know, but if anybody clicks on it, and it's literally going to show you. So if you are just hammering out links thinking that this is doing the utmost value to your show and nobody's clicking on anything, then maybe it's the wrong approach. If you're only sending out one link to your show every 2 days and 10 people are clicking on it, to me, that's way more beneficial. But these are the kind of things that, because you're right, Jeff, it depends, right? But to me, it doesn't depend on what we feel or what we think is right. It's really the analytics behind it. Mm-hmm. And analytics.twitter is, I was obsessed with it about, I don't know, 6 months ago or something when I discovered it, because it's really interesting to see. And it's completely changed the way I tweet. I don't tweet out nearly as many show links anymore because most people don't see them. Like, actually, that's the other really cool thing, because you think it's like, okay, well, I have 1,000 followers on Twitter, and you tweet out a link at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, and it's like, wow, 322 people saw it. And then you send it out later in the day, and it's like, wow, 64 people only saw that one. Mm-hmm. It's actually who sees your link or your tweet. That's pretty impressive. I think you need to just look at the numbers and try different things and see what works. It really, in the end, unless you just really enjoy it, then by all means, go for it, because there's obviously a value that analytics can't tell you. It's just you having fun, which is totally cool. Do that. But if it's just because you think something, then check the numbers and see what's working and try different things and keep checking the numbers. You'll find a sweet spot. And you can do that with a personal account, or you can do that with a show handle. And just check the two and see if anything's working. Seems to be the best way to do it.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that Twitter is good for broadcasting and distribution. I mean, putting your links out there, they will get seen, they will get clicked. It's good for that. But don't forget that the true value of Twitter is listening and being able to enter conversations. Even if people aren't clicking on your links and it's not driving a whole lot of traffic, it can really inform you about what people are saying. And you can actually get in some great one-on-one discussions with people in your audience, or people who aren't in your audience yet but who will be after you've interacted with them. You know, find hashtags that are relevant to what you're doing. And when people ask questions, go in there and offer value. You know, I think that's so important with anything with social media, is always, rather than thinking about what we can get out of it, you know, and how much we can build our personal brand, or should we build our company brand? Well, maybe the first thought should even be, how can I go help some people? You know, how can I go provide some value? How can I go answer some questions? How can I go be a valuable participant in a conversation? Because that's what's going to bring people back to you, whether it's your company brand, whether it's your personal brand. You know, really think about, you know, have that audience focus, that focus on helping and adding value to a conversation, to a discussion. And when you do that, the growth will come. And then you can kind of direct the growth a little bit. Maybe you have to pivot and switch and you want to start doing it from your personal account as opposed to this, whatever. You can figure that out. But I just think that first thing is to think there is this huge, gigantic audience, this huge, gigantic conversation going on. Where can I fit into that and really offer people value? And when you think of it from that mindset, then I think you really unlock the power of social media, not just to get out of it what you want to get out of it, but to put in what is really going to be useful to other people as well.
Yeah. I've never actually been able to do that, just join conversations, but...
Really?
Yeah, but I know that it's like a super valuable thing that people have done. I watch conversations and I respond to everybody who tweets me and then try and get into conversations with people. But I've never like followed through like hashtags and stuff and then like entered conversations and tried to. I've had people do it to me.
Interesting.
And I've been like, oh, that's, why are you doing that? Why are you talking? Like we're talking, me and somebody else are talking right now. Why are you interjecting? That's usually somebody to do with podcasting. And anytime you bring up podcasting, this. Somebody interjects in my conversation and it's like, come on, man, I'm having a conversation here.
All right. So Johnny, I'm going to issue you a challenge. And by way of issuing you a challenge, I will issue a challenge to everybody who is listening. Open up. What do you use for Twitter?
I use Twitter.
Oh, you don't use any kind of app or anything?
I don't.
What do you use for Twitter? I use Twitter.
That sounds really funny, but why? I don't. It's weird. Yeah, people are really into their apps.
So search for the hashtag podcasting and just go in and answer a few questions or jump in. Maybe someone, you know, tweets out something that isn't correct or was correct 6 months ago and you have something to add, or maybe there's an episode of our show that'll help people. Go in there and answer some questions. And I will issue that exact same challenge to everybody listening. Figure out what a relevant hashtag is for your audience, for your topic. Put that into whatever Twitter client you use, or if you just use Twitter, go search for it and find a way where maybe someone's asking a question or having a problem that you can just provide some value and start doing that. And I think you really start to see the benefit of social media start to come back to you. I just think too many people think about social media in how can I throw my links out there and get traffic? How can I get more followers? How can I get this, that, or the other? Instead of thinking, how can I go help a bunch of people? And how can I help people one by one? And just trusting that the connection will come and that people will follow you and that you'll get people who will click on your links because you've already offered them value. So I don't know if you accept my challenge, Mr. Nestor.
I accept your challenge.
Wow. Okay.
I do. Yeah.
All right. And
it seems like something should be done.
Yes.
I just get jaded, you know?
Yeah. No, I know how it is. But okay, if you listening right now, you magnificent showrunner, you, if you accept my challenge, then let us know. And you know what? Tweet us at showrunnerfm or at Jared Morris or at John Naster. Actually, yeah, tweet us at Jared Morris and John Naster, because those are really the accounts that we use and the ones that we respond from. Because that's the other thing about responding from the showrunnerfm Twitter account is people don't know if it's you or me. So it's nice if they include us individually, because then we can both respond.
Right.
But let us know. Let us know what you do. Let us know if you have success with it. And we'd love to know.
What do you use for Twitter?
I have two different apps. I use Tweetbot for my personal account, for the showrunner, and for the Rainmaker FM account. And then I have the other regular Twitter app for the assembly call. And the reason why is I want them separate, because they really, to me, are two totally separate Twitter worlds. Mm-hmm. And so it's just easier to actually have them in two separate apps, so that when I have one open, I'm not distracted by the other, and I just keep them totally separate.
Which one do you use for assembly call? Sorry.
I use just the Twitter app for the Mac.
Oh, use Twitter for Twitter.
Well, but it's not like the Twitter, website.
Oh,
there's an actual Apple app for it. It's just, right. I don't know, maybe it's something else, but when I scroll over it, it just says Twitter. So I think it's the official Twitter app for Mac.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I just keep that over there totally separate, so it's on its own. And again, you're probably right, that's not representative for most people, but I think it is important to think about if you are starting a side project or something, and what you're going to be tweeting about isn't particularly relevant to the audience that you've already built. You don't want to annoy them. You don't want to totally start just tweeting about this other topic, and you may find much more success being able to be 100% hyper-focused with that other account. So something to think about.
And it seems crazy to let this just slide now, though, because now I'm interested as somebody from the outside. You said that Tweetbot is your Rainmaker.fm account. I often wonder, because obviously I get things tweeted at me from that because of my show being on Rainmaker. Is it just you, or are there numerous people who have a Tweetbot account set up for Rainmaker?
And I actually don't use it as much anymore. So Caroline is now doing more management of that account, and we do lots of auto scheduling with Octopost. Mm-hmm. So we create message assets with all of the different, all the different episodes and links, and then we can auto tweet them out over time and make it much more efficient. And then we have someone else who checks it for support and more technical related questions. So I actually don't do as much on that one anymore as I used to, but I used to be, for probably a good 6 to 12 months there, I was the only person responding from that account.
Well, okay. But yeah, it seems like it's changed a bit. That's why I was wondering, because things get favorited now, during business hours, and it's cool.
Well, right. And I will say this, and this can be our last tip for this, when you're, when you have a brand account, and I'd have to check and see if we're still doing this, but when I was managing the Copyblogger account, it said this account is managed by at Jared Morris. And same thing with the Rainmaker FM account. So even though it was a brand, people could see who was actually behind it, who was actually managing it. And that may be something to think about, because that at least puts a little bit more of a personal face or a personal touch on a brand account. If it is just going to be one person, and that person is, somewhat known by the audience that you have, of that company or the customers that you have, can just help personalize it a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool. And I've seen some people, they respond to me from a brand account, and it'll say JM, /JM at the very end of the message, meaning that's the person who actually, I guess so they can track it internally.
Maybe.
But it also feels kind of good. It's so it's an actual person who put at least their, they can't put their name because there's only 140 characters. But it's kind of, to me, it kind of feels good. It's that's cool. It's so I guess if I was using HD podcast, I could do /JN. So they actually knew it wasn't just an assistant doing it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah. All right. You ready for a listener question?
Yeah. I thought that was a listener question.
It was. So we'll figure out what we're going to do about that next.
Okay.
All right. So today's hypothetical listener question is sponsored by Digital Commerce Institute. Have you heard of Digital Commerce Institute, Mr. Naster?
I have never heard of this.
So I would like to direct your attention, you magnificent showrunner, you, which is a phrase I may have to start using more and more. to digitalcommerce.com, which is a project that I am very excited about, that I've had the good pleasure to work on, and which we are now getting ready to unveil to you. And it is not being officially unveiled. This episode is going live on October 21st. So this Digital Commerce Institute is not officially being revealed yet, although it will be soon. But if you go to digitalcommerce.com, you can get on the email list to be the first to know when we launch, okay? And so what is Digital Commerce Institute? Well, it is basically going to be the premier online resource for discovering smarter ways to create and sell profitable digital products and services. So there's going to be some great content in there, incredible information. If you go to digitalcommerce.com right now, you can read a little bit of a description about the big picture for what Digital Commerce Institute will be. And if you get on that email list, you will be notified when we launch. And if you followed along with the Showrunner podcast course launch, if you followed along with how we have launched products at Copyblogger/Rainmaker Digital, you know that the people who get in first, who get in on the pilot programs, get incredible lifetime value, you know, for being the first ones in there. So that is a great incentive to go submit your email address and be notified of all the new information when we do launch digitalcommerce.com, which is coming up soon. So we are not doing a listener question this week because we just did a listener question. We did Jeff Leo Herman's listener question. We just happened to expand it all the way out into an entire episode. So we are going to use this space, this listener question space, to request more listener questions. Now, to do this, you can tweet us at ShowrunnerFM, and that is the proper place to tweet us listener questions. And then you can email us, jared@copyblogger.com or john@hackthentrepreneur.com. We're more than happy to take your listener questions by email. Or if you comment on an episode page, we will do a better job of tracking the questions that come in there. And frankly, there may be some old questions there that we may use for listener questions. So that would be the other way. But we want more listener questions. We love answering your listener questions. And sometimes they turn into entire episodes. So send them to us, tweet them to us, email them to us, comment them to us, and we will answer them.
What do you think about making, I'm going to just interject here, what do you think about like removing the listener question and just making the listener question the main topic?
And just do all episodes based on listener questions?
Yeah. Unless like we really have something we need to say, but it's like we always do this main topic and then we always jam in this listener question at the end. And at the end of it, we almost always say that could be a whole episode. And this one was just a listener question. And I think it's something that really does take the time to kind of get through the nuances of it. Right. And it's interesting. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great idea, but we've already started this format. And once you decide on a format, you can't change it. So we are stuck doing listener questions forever.
Forever.
Wow. Forever. I know,
podcasting sucks,
doesn't it?
Podcasting is terrible. But show running is not.
That's right. I like this idea. All right, let's switch it up. Let's switch it up for the future. So listener question. I mean, that's what we should be doing anyway, right? I mean, that's essentially what these episodes are, is just questions
exactly
that we get about podcasting and we decide to answer them in episode form. Okay.
Because they're never like yes or no questions sort of thing, right? So it's the things that we really need to kind of get into, and it's always and it's like Jeff said in this one, right? It's like always it depends, and so much of show running it depends, but then there's all these different angles to look at it. So if we could touch on all those, it'd be I enjoy it. It's fun to get deep into what seems like a simple question on the surface, but then
I know, because our original idea was, these will take us like 4 or 5 minutes to answer, but they always take longer. Okay, but we do need another section. So maybe we can have a new section called like Awkward Exchange of the Week. This week's Awkward Exchange
Those
of the
are
Week.
So hey, hard for us.
Yeah. What do you use for Twitter? I use Twitter. Oh.
It's weird that that's so like, that's so odd, but I know that it is because everybody's always talking about Twitter apps. I'm just, I don't know why I always just log into Twitter. Well, I don't have to log in. It's always logged in. I just go to Twitter.
You are old school, man.
I am old school. Man.
Probably still using slide rules and dial up internet and canvas shoes.
I do have canvas shoes. But I don't know what a slide rule is. So.
Oh, all right. Well, on that note, Let's go on now to a normal segment of the show that is not going anywhere over my dead body, and that is the podcast recommendation. Now, for this week's podcast recommendation, I had the great, wonderful pleasure of being a guest on this show, and it was easily one of the best interviews I've ever been a part of. The questions were phenomenal. It was a very relaxed atmosphere. I've never felt really more relaxed or probably been more revealing on an interview than I was on this one, and all the credit for that goes to Harry Duran, who runs Podcast Junkies, and he is going to tell you now why you should give his show a listen.
Podcast Junkies in 3, 2, 1. So what is Podcast Junkies? It's the show for people obsessed with podcasting, of course. I also like to call it the podcaster's voice. No scripted questions, just candid, casual conversations with some of the most fun, entertaining, and engaging podcast hosts out there in the known podverse. And yes, that's a word I just made up. If you're a fan of podcasts, then more likely than not, you're a fan of the hosts themselves. So this is an opportunity to learn a little bit more about them and find out what makes them tick and what motivates them to keep going week in and week out producing their show and what motivated them to get started in the first place. So join me every Monday for new conversations and new insights. PodcastJunkies.com.
Listen to Podcast Junkies. Excellent show. Highly recommend it. And we'll link to the episode that I was in the show notes too, if you want to give that one a listen. And speaking of that, by the way, I will recommend one other show, Rainmaker.fm Elsewhere. This is a pretty cool idea, and I think it's something folks should think about. Now, maybe you won't do an entire new podcast channel, but basically what we're doing is all of the hosts of Rainmaker FM, when they get interviewed on other shows, we are curating those into our own basically new show. And so, you know, asking the people permission and then replaying those episodes in full. So when Brian's interviewed, when I'm interviewed, when other folks are interviewed, we're putting them in this feed called Rainmaker.fm Elsewhere. And it's an interesting thing to think about when you get interviewed by another show. Maybe ask that person if you can republish that show to your feed and maybe put it out as a bonus, you know, do something like that with it. Because I mean, it's relevant content for your audience. It's you. And typically the other host is not going to mind you exposing them to your audience. So something to think about, right?
Yeah, totally. I think it's, I love the show. I was just intrigued by the name. First of all, I had no idea what
Elsewhere.
It was. Like, yeah. Man, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'd have to kind of filter it yourself as to which shows, not all the shows you're on, you're going to put in there probably, but.
Right. But the good ones, the notable ones.
The good one. Yeah, totally.
Okay. So it's time to roll. Once again, a reminder of the call to action. Go to digitalcommerce.com. Get on that email list because you are not going to want to miss the launch and the pilot details. They're incredible. So digitalcommerce.com. And the reason why it's important to you as a showrunner is because, again, our goal here on The Showrunner is not to teach you how to create and launch a podcast. It's to teach you how to develop and run a show. And part of the long term with that is building a business around your show so that it can be sustainable, so that it can be profitable, so that you can create that authentic connection and be useful for your audience in the long term in a way that benefits you and your audience. And that's what digital commerce teaches you how to do, is how to actually build a business around the audience that you're building. And so we're giving you the tools and tips on The Showrunner about building the audience, growing that audience, you know, building a reputable show that has, that creates a remarkable audience experience and that has a remarkable audience. Digitalcommerce.com will teach you how to take it to the next level and build a business around that audience. So that's why it's relevant. Go to digitalcommerce.com. Check it out. And with that, Mr. Naster.
We did it. It was fun.
We didn't beat the 30-minute mark, though. I was wrong on that again.
That's shocking.
Your sarcasm is not appreciated.
Oh, the sarcasm came through the microphone? Wow.
It did, yeah. Amazing how that happens.
Because 38 minutes ago, I said, you say this every time.
I know. We did it once.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
It was fun.
It was fun. Talk to you in a little bit.
Yes.